Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us unite our hearts in opening thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we lift up our hearts unto you in thanksgiving and praise. You have cared for us in many, many ways. Certainly, we have received many temporal blessings along the way in our journey. But that greatest blessing, Father, that you have given us, this gift of living faith and the gift of your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we can daily believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. It is such a precious gift. Our hearts rise in thanksgiving. Our lips stumble at words to say to thank you, Father. But you know our hearts. You know that joy that is there, that joy of a believer. And we thank you for the blessings of this life. We see how you are our Creator. You have made us, each and every one of us, in a very special way. And you have given us that name of a child of God. And you control the world and the things that happen. You control the warmth and the coolness. We see how year to year things are different. Some years warmer, some years colder. And yet, we also feel our own corruption. So often we complain. It's too warm, or it's too cold, it's too cloudy, too rainy. But you, Father, care for us. You remind us you are the giver of all things. And that we live here on this earth, which you have created for us to enjoy. This morning also, we remember those on the outside of your kingdom, Father. Grant unto them seeking and searching heart. Bring them to that grace altar where they can believe their unbelief and all sins forgiven. And we pray as your Son has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, in the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the beginning, I want to say how already my heart has rejoiced to be here in your midst, your brothers and sisters in living faith. God has richly blessed your congregation, and just walking in the door, one immediately feels that love that comes from the children of God. From heart to heart, from faith to faith, that love that God kindles in our hearts one for another. What a special blessing that is. And it goes from congregation to congregation. The brothers and sisters there in the Rockford congregation wanted that their greetings of love and God's peace would be brought here to you, dear children of God. And also, at Easter time when we were there serving in the Palki and Ishpeming congregations, those dear children of God also ask that you would remember them in your prayers to the Heavenly Father, that they would continue to journey on that narrow way that leads to heaven. And they wanted to send their greetings also to you. And then recently we were in Seattle for our son Aaron's wedding, and many of the children of God there also wish to send their greetings to you, brothers and sisters, here in the Cokato congregation. Certainly, we have many relatives living in these different areas and congregations, but even more preciously are these dear brothers and sisters in living faith, journeying of this same hope of eternal life one day in heaven, when we can all be there united in heaven with our Creator and with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and those saints who have endeavored already and received the rest of the righteous, waiting that judgment day, resting in the bosom of Abraham. And I have to say, even coming here and seeing so many of you, dear brothers and sisters in faith, whom we traveled with for many years, how joyful it makes my heart to see you again and to see how God has preserved you in living faith. And also, I have to say that I see empty spots also in the congregation. God has called some of you, some of the children of God, to the rest of the righteous, those whom we visited with here while we lived in Cokato, those whom we have visited even since we've left, have been called to that rest of the righteous. And this is that hope that we all have, isn't it? That we wait for that day when God calls us from this life. Perhaps you young people would say that you are enjoying life and not so much, but as we get older, it seems that our hearts yearn for that home in heaven. And I'm sure even the young ones, you also feel that time too when sin has weighed heavily on your journey. When you have been able to go to your parents perhaps, or a brother or sister in faith, and have confessed of your sins and received that joy in believing your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Has it also happened that way for you as a youth, as happened so many times in my youth, that when that gospel was preached, those kinds of thoughts came to my mind that, oh, if God could only call me now, when my sins are all forgiven, that I'm fearful again of sin attaching on the way and the journey. It is like a small taste of heaven when our sins have been forgiven and we have those beautiful white robes of righteousness that the Lord and Savior Himself has provided through the shedding of His blood in our behalf. And this thought fits in with this text that we have for this Sunday on the church calendar, which speaks how the children of God long for that eternal home. And the gospel text which is given for this Sunday is found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. John and begins with the 16th verse through the 23rd verse. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, and ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These words mostly were the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words which were not of the Savior, which were of the disciples, I'm sure you recognized as you listened to this text. For these words of the disciples are words that we often ourselves have had on the way in the journey. When we begin to reason with our own mind the matters of living faith, we quickly become confused and it seems difficult to understand. And so it was for the disciples when they had heard the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. They tried to reason with their mind what these meant. And from that mind, from that reason, they could not understand. The opening verse, A little while and ye shall not see me again. A little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. These words were at the end of a long speech by the Lord and Savior, Jesus. It had started already back in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, and had continued up until these words that we read at the beginning of our text. But in the start of that 16th chapter, Jesus was talking about the persecution and the suffering that the child of God would experience, just as the Lord and Savior, Jesus himself, experienced. He said in the beginning of that 16th chapter, These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Jesus foretold of his death and his suffering on that middle cross of Golgotha. This suffering and death is very close to us and very perhaps even top of mind at this time of year as we have just celebrated Easter. And we have again remembered of the Palm Sunday. Perhaps you young children have visited about Palm Sunday in your Sunday school lessons. We have had the services, the communion services on Monday, Thursday, where we remembered of that giving of the wine and the bread, the blood and the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus, that first communion. And we have remembered his suffering on Good Friday, and with joy we have celebrated that victory on Easter Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over death and hell, so that we might live. Jesus opened the way for us to heaven. He fulfilled that promise that God made to Adam and Eve there in the garden. And He gave us this lively hope, which we have as children of God yet today, when we endeavor to live our lives under that gospel of the forgiveness of sins, when the Holy Spirit is able to dwell there in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit that leads and guides the congregation. We trust in that care of the Mother. We trust in the care of the Heavenly Father. And we give thanks for the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who washes away all sin and makes us clean. It is a good hope to have. Jesus, when he left from this world, he told the disciples in his farewell sermon how he was going to prepare a home in heaven. He said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you." Think about that, dear brothers and sisters. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself has gone to heaven to prepare a place for you and for me. This text speaks about this life on this earth, and it speaks about that home there in heaven. Jesus, when he talked about his suffering, he wanted to speak of this so that we would know and understand that it is not strange that we as his children, as God's children, as Jesus' brothers and sisters in faith, would also journey a way of suffering and persecution. The Bible says that a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden from this world. And certainly it is so that also this congregation here in Cokato is very visible to the world and the people around you. They see the children of God. They see the fruits of your faith. They see in a very visible way that simple trust and understanding that we have in the Heavenly Father. When we accept the children into our homes as gifts, not attempting with our own mind or reason to number those children, to say that one or two is a perfect family, to say that, well, for this reason or that reason, now is the time to stop having children. But we see that God blesses. God gives the children as gifts into the home. And I would say that the grandmothers and grandfathers and the elderly parents here, like myself, have to say how our hearts rejoice when we see the children in God's kingdom, see our own families. Yes, there were times when we had doubts. There were times when it might have been difficult. There were times when we understood perhaps that we couldn't give the things of this world to our children like their schoolmates received. But on the other hand, did we not see such a beautiful home life, such a blessing from God? When these children came into the home at the end of the school day and brought their joys of the school life into the home, the things that they had learned and experienced, when they brought their simple childlike understanding, even on matters of faith, into the discussions in the home, how it warmed the hearts of the parents, how it also gave strength to believe as a little child, and yet all in the home received that strength and understanding from the preaching of the gospel. And it was that forgiveness of sins in the home that preserved love, that preserves faith, that preserves unity in the Spirit. And so also that teaching to the younger parents here today, that to accept the gifts of God into your home with thankfulness and praises to the Heavenly Father. Teach your children the ABCs of faith. And most of all, preach that gospel of forgiveness of sins there in your home. Husbands and wives to each other, and parents to children, and children to parents. In this way, faith is preserved in the heart. And do not think it strange, then, when you are ridiculed or persecuted for how you believe. Many times, I think the older, middle-aged members of the congregation are there in the workplace. They see and they hear of the pleasures of this life. I'm sure the children at school, the youth at school, hear and see of the pleasures of this life. And many temptations that the enemy sets before us. And it would be appealing, I think, to the flesh to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Or even, as it would say, for a season, for a short while. The enemy tempts us in this way. But brothers and sisters and youth and children, do not listen to that sermon of the enemy. But rather, choose that way of suffering and affliction. Perhaps they ridicule you because you don't have that television in your home. Perhaps they ridicule you because you do not partake of their parties and their life of this world and all that seems to be so fun for them. And certainly our flesh battles against these temptations. And so we see here this picture of life as a child of God, that it is oftentimes a life of, we could say, carrying our own cross, carrying our own sorrows and difficulties, endeavoring to struggle. And we look at the world around us, and we see how they seem to be living in joys of the pleasures of this life, and how happy they seem to be. They do not need the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in their life. They are living on their own foundations of sand. They feel that their own works, their own activities, their own understanding will save them. And yet, they see us as the foolish ones, endeavoring to believe in such simple ways. This portion of Scripture speaks how in this life, for the child of God, there is suffering. But when we are called from this life, that suffering changes to joy, to peace. We do not experience any sin there. We are with God. There is no enemy of souls there. We are separated from this corrupt flesh that we carry. It is a beautiful place. It is a place of joy and thanksgiving. It is given such a beautiful place that we do not even know or remember those that did not make it to heaven. Here in this life, there may be sorrow over one who has denied faith. There may be even great sorrow when one has left this world without a testimony of a child of God. These are difficult matters for God's children, and they bring much sorrow. But they are in heaven. We don't even remember those anymore. God takes away all that suffering and pain and sorrow that we've had in this life, and there is only joy found there. And so when the disciples attempted with their own reason or understanding to understand this matter, we see how God is all-knowing, and Jesus, His Son, in the second person, is all-knowing. That Jesus knew what the thoughts of the disciples were. God knows. Jesus knows. And the Holy Spirit knows. They are three in one. And they know those reasonings that we have in our mind. They know the difficulties and the stumblings and the failings that have taken place in our life. And God wishes that we would reach the shores of heaven. When our prayers rise unto the Heavenly Father, teach me, help me to understand, give me strength to journey. Those prayers do not go unheard, dear brothers and sisters. But God cares for His children. He sends those angels and those escorts to preach the gospel of forgiveness to you. It might be a member in your own home, and it might be a dear friend in God's kingdom. Nevertheless, these people are the mouths of God. They preach that gospel. They speak of the kingdom of God and give that understanding that answers to our spirit. Even as when Jesus spoke here to the disciples, when they heard His words, they brought joy to them. He asked this question, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again a little while, and ye shall see me." He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy." So we see here in that 20th verse how Jesus Himself spoke of this sorrow and suffering in this life compared to the joy of the world, but then how the joy would be changed to, or the sorrow would be turned to joy there in heaven. It is when we look at how the world is going and that reason of man compared to the teaching and instruction of God, we can see how man's reasoning is so upside down with God's teaching and instruction. Man seeks after his own pleasure and joy of his flesh, and the Word of God teaches us to battle against that flesh, to, more importantly, to believe as a child, to find that joy that comes from the forgiveness of sins. And when we think of the world around us, and we see in these last times even how things are so upside down, and we have to marvel. When we have been given this beautiful gift of a believing spouse, we see through the years what a great gift that God has given us. Many times when we are first married, certainly there is great joy and happiness. We are thankful that God has given us this believing spouse. But it seems as the years go and we experience trials and difficulties on the way in the journey, when we've had to preach that gospel of forgiveness to each other, and we have seen how it is through this preaching of the gospel that our marriage has remained, that we have been able to have this love that God gives us for each other. And we see what a beautiful escort God has truly given to us. One that can forgive us for our many sins and failings. One that can wash away those wrong words that we have said. Wash away those things that we have done that have caused offense. And instead, given thankfulness for each other. Not one of us is perfect. And we see also with our children how we do not know or understand how to teach our children, but how God is able to give words in a time of need. How God is able to give that instruction that is of grace and of truth, which cannot be found in the world. And the children, they feel this love in the home, that they also can believe sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And so the home which God has established is a beautiful place. It's built on a firm foundation, which is this gospel of the forgiveness of sins. And when we compare that to the understanding and wisdom of man, what do we see today in our time? For those of us who are getting older now in years, it's shocking. Your young ones, in our day, when we were your age, marriage still was an honorable thing in the world. It was a shame for people to live out of wedlock. In common laws, as we see today, many, many are those in the world who live together, not having been joined together by God's Word. God has not blessed those relationships Many of them quickly dissolve, some in a matter of hours, and some last some more years, but many of them dissolve because they are not built on that firm foundation. Jesus has not been invited to that marriage, as we see so preciously in a believing marriage, that we desire to have the Lord and Savior there at our wedding. And so the world and their reason, they have trampled on this estate of marriage. Man and woman living together unmarried. And then what I find even more baffling in today's society then is how the people have gone so far into the pleasures of life that men want to live with men and women with women and fight for that right to be married. That estate that man and woman in the world have trampled, those want to fight to have that right which has been pushed aside, forgotten by those whom God intended to live of that estate. The reasoning of man is in such darkness without the light of God's Word. And we, children of God, have to say that is it not only by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, that we are His children yet this day. We have carried that same flesh and blood. We have battled against those temptations of the world. We have heard many times the sermons of the enemy of souls. But is it not a great marvel that God is more powerful? God is able to overcome those temptations of the world. God is able to chase away the enemy of souls when He whispers those temptations to us in our ears. God is able to help us overcome the temptations of our own flesh. It is not of our power or strength, but it is of God's power and strength that we are able to believe as His children. He has called us into this marvelous light. He has preserved us in living faith. We don't know why. We don't understand. But God knows His reason and His purpose. And it is a fruit of faith that we have this love and joy in our heart, this peace of God, this thankfulness to the Heavenly Father. It is from God Himself. And Jesus speaks of this change from sorrow to joy. How perhaps the mothers in this congregation can understand this verse even more than any of us. When He said, "A woman, when she has in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for that a man is born into the world." And as fathers, we have witnessed this. When our children have been born into this world, and we have stood beside our wives trying to comfort her in her sorrow as she has that labor to deliver the child. And sometimes it is very difficult. And I'll say this carefully, we feel their pain, but I'm sure we don't. We try to understand the pain and suffering that they're feeling in that delivery. But I've always marveled then when the child has been born, how Quickly, the mother's emotions change how we see the happiness that comes, and they take that baby into their arms. As Jesus said, that their hearts rejoice that the child has been born, and they see a beautiful, beautiful baby there in their arms. This is kind of that picture that Jesus portrays then when we will be taken from this life, when God calls us home, that suffering and pain that we have endeavored as a child of God will be replaced with joy that no man can take away from us. Yeah, and we will see Jesus, and we will see God, and we will see those saints that have gone before, of which the Bible speaks, and even those of the more recent times, which we have personally known. And there in heaven, as Jesus says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father in my name, he will give it you." And John speaks of this earlier in the 14th chapter, beginning here in the 15th verse, when he speaks of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wanted to teach us that he was not leaving us alone, even though he went to sit on the right hand of God the Father, but he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And he said to the disciples here in that 14th chapter, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall also live. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." So we have this promise of the Savior, and of the Holy Spirit, I should say, the Comforter, which is Jesus and God in the third person. And it dwells here among the Zion of God, not just in one person, not just in one congregation, but in the whole Zion of God. The believers in Finland, for example, believe the same as we do. The believers there in Ecuador, the believers in West Africa, I have visited with them personally, and they are preciously believing. They have that same fruit of faith. It is marvelous to see even how God has kindled that love and understanding into their heart, how they desire to speak of this faith, how they call their neighbors and friends to the hearing of God's Word. They want them also to find this same joy and treasure which they have found. It truly is the work of God. And so here, Jesus promises the Comforter, and we have this Comforter here in our midst today. That Holy Spirit leads and guides. You see that, dear brothers and sisters here in Cokato. When we look forward, we have many questions in life. When we look back on the journey, we see how God has led our lives. God has instructed the congregation through the Holy Spirit, and it has brought those blessings when we have endeavored to hearken unto the voice of the Spirit, to listen to the voice of the Mother, to be obedient in faith. And as Jesus instructed, even here in this portion we read, to keep His commandments, to try to live that life of a child of God, meaning to battle against the threefold enemy. We are not under the law, but we are under grace. And in that light of God's Word and in that grace, we see the small specks of dust that attach on the way and the journey so easily unto us. And so this morning, even as you find yourselves, dear brothers and sisters, that same comforting message of the gospel is yet offered today, that as you find yourselves, you may uplift your heart to believe all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood, and be of good cheer and be of good comfort. And I also desire to believe of this same gospel message. Can you, brothers and sisters, forgive me for my many sins and my failings and weak words? And I want to believe with you, dear brothers and sisters, and want to encourage you yet to remain on this endeavor of faith. It is a good fight to fight. The Apostle Paul, he prayed unto God even that He would remove that thorn from his flesh, that sin that continued to bother him on his journey of faith. We carry those thorns. They keep us close to God. Even as the songwriter wrote, that we want to give thanks to the Heavenly Father for the thorns also on the journey that keep us on this narrow way. If the journey was smooth, if there wasn't ever any battles, would it seem that we would be quickly drawn out of God's kingdom? But these thorns, they keep us on that narrow way. They keep us as grace beggars in God's kingdom. And this is all that God has prepared for us in the work of His dear Son, in whom we are able to believe our sins forgiven in His name and in His blood. One day, faith will change to seeing. There will be no more trials or difficulties, but there will be that eternal joy there in heaven. Continue to battle, dear brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.